of like CSI here.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to be having fun tonight because we're going to be playing a little bit of CSI with the scriptures. But as we look at the Bible, let's pray and ask that God would help us to understand what's going on here and what it means for us. So let's pray. God and Father, we thank you so much that your Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can truly grasp. We can truly grasp your word, what it means for us, and how we need to respond to it. So help us now as we look at your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's the kind of logical next week. If we looked at the death of Jesus last week, this week it's the resurrection of Jesus. Another tough question, but in fact, I think this question, this tough question, is the most important one in our series. Okay, so we've looked at other questions that would kind of talk us about, you know, does God exist? Or the God that does exist, what's he like? This question takes us a whole lot further. This is the tough question where the answer comes out with something like, Jesus is exactly who he says he is. Jesus really is God. And Jesus has defeated death on our behalf. This question, I reckon, is the biggie. Is the resurrection of Jesus credible? This is not credible because it ain't working. So let's just... We'll fix it? Okay. It's just a really picture, good picture of a tomb. Now the word credible. Oh, there you go. Is it believable? You know, is this something, this resurrection of Jesus, is this something that I can really kind of comfortably believe in? Or is it going to make me look like a goose? That's really the question that's in front of me. Is it credible? I want to be clear what we're talking about. Thanks. What we're talking about here is resurrection and not resuscitation. Okay, so you know resuscitation? That's when, you know, like someone's on the operating table and they start flatlining and they die. And the medical people go, and oh, I'm back alive again. Okay, so that's resuscitation. And it's kind of like an extension on life. You get more of the same. And, you know, one day you're going to die again. Okay, I'm not talking about resuscitation. I'm talking about resurrection. Resurrection is going from death to an entirely new order of life, eternal life. This is life with God forever. Yes, there is continuity with the old life. It's still you. You're the same person. But now, in this resurrection life, you're living in a whole new realm. You've got a new body. There's a whole new set of parameters operating here. It's a greater reality. That's what we mean by resurrection life. When Jesus came back from the dead, he wasn't resuscitated. We're talking about his resurrection. And so our tough question is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead credible? It's a huge question. And the stakes here couldn't be higher. If you're a Christian person here tonight, and the answer is no, the resurrection is not credible, well then, your whole faith just got trashed. It all falls over. Your faith is on the line if you're a Christian person here tonight. This is what the Apostle Paul had to say. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who've fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. So for the Christians who are here in the room tonight, if your faith is only a good thing for this life, because the resurrection of Jesus is actually a joke, then you are really to be pitied. You are unforgiven, you are damned in your sins, and you're completely deluded. And if that's the case, I reckon we should all just go home and never ever come back here again. It's a waste of time. If Jesus' resurrection is not legit. On the other hand, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, there is a lot at stake here for you as well. If it turns out that the resurrection of Jesus is credible, then your kind of comfy little position is suddenly looking not so comfy. You need to do some serious investigation, I would suggest. If Jesus did rise from the dead and he promises the same for you, because that's the implication, then why would you ignore him as being irrelevant? You're certainly going to die. It's going to happen to us all sometime. He's offering you eternal life. Why would you not check it out? Why would you not? So there's a lot at stake with this question. We're going to be relying on the credibility of the New Testament as we examine the question. And the question is, well, how much cred does the New Testament have? You know the amazing thing? Is that there are other people who are writing books at exactly the same time that the New Testament is written, people who are not Christians, and they actually back up what the Bible has to say. For example, there's this guy named Josephus. He's a Jewish man. He writes about the same time as the New Testament is written. And he tells us all about Jesus' fame as a teacher, as a healer, as a martyr. And he says, you know, from the earliest days, the Christians, they were claiming that Jesus has risen from the dead. Josephus doesn't believe it. Okay, he's a Jew. He's actually opposed to all of this. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is, hang on a minute, from the very earliest days, other people know this stuff. They know that Christians are claiming Jesus has risen from the dead. So what we're saying is the New Testament fits very comfortably in the history and all the other writings that are going on around that time. It fits in with everything we know about first century Israel, everything we know about the Roman Empire of that day. If you need to know it's legit, the New Testament fits as a historically trustworthy document. So what we're going to do as we take a kind of a CSI approach now is let's have a look at the New Testament, what it's got to say. We're going to smash through the evidence pretty fast, okay? But we need to do that because what I do want to do is think through those implications at the end. Okay, so what? So let's have a bit of a look at it. The first piece of evidence that is kind of surprising is that Jesus predicted his own death. This is kind of crazy, isn't it? Long before, you know, years, maybe, months, certainly, before he dies, Jesus says, you know what, I'm going to die. And 3 days after, and arise to new life, and I'll be resurrected. That's kind of a big call. That's, you know, if you're in the business of making predictions, this is a risky play. But Jesus, up front, says, I will be resurrected from the dead. Next piece of evidence. Jesus was dead. This is really important. Before Jesus can be resurrected, he's got to be dead, right? This is important because if Jesus was not really dead, let's just say, you know, the cross was kind of okay, and they came and they took his body down off the cross and they stashed him in the tomb, and, you know, in the cold tomb and with a few days break, you know, Jesus was feeling a little bit better, and he kind of smashed out through the rock that was placed in front there, took out the Roman guards, and hey, I'm back. That's not a resurrection. So how do we know that Jesus was actually dead? Well, Pontius Pilate does us a great favour at this point. Joseph, we read in our reading in Matthew, is Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pontius Pilate and says, I want the body of Jesus. I want to bury it, give him a proper burial. You know what Pontius Pilate did? He sent the boys around to make sure Jesus really was dead. It's up here on the screen. Let me just tell you roughly what happens. This is from John's Gospel on the screen. Roman guards get sent to the crucifixion. And this is the kind of thing that did happen a bit. If the guys on the cross are taking a little bit too long to die, what you do is you get a sledgehammer and you go up and you smash their legs and you break their legs so that they can't push themselves up anymore and they suffocate a whole lot faster. So the two thieves either side of Jesus, their legs are broken, but when they get to Jesus, they go, oh, he's already dead. But let's just make sure. So they get a spear and they jam it up into Jesus' ribcage. And it says in the text there, you can see it on the screen, that blood and water came out. Now, it's blood and clear stuff. We don't know what it was. Doctor-type people tell me that this is the plasma and the blood kind of all congealing and doing funny stuff. It's like he's dead. That's the point. Jesus is really dead. Sorry for the gruesome details, by the way, but it's really important to establish. Jesus, he was dead. Next thing to notice is that there was no mistaking the tomb. You might have noticed that you can see it in Matthew 27, verse 61, but there's a kind of a bit of detail going on here is that the women who watch Joseph of Arimathea, and I think he had some help, take the body of Jesus and put it in Joseph's tomb. The women are right there and they see it. They identify the tomb, verse 61 of Matthew 27. So it's not as though the women are important because they're the first witnesses, right? They're the first people who show up on Sunday morning going, the tomb is empty. Oh no, they know the right tomb. They haven't got it wrong. And by the way, if they did get the wrong tomb, what would happen? Don't tell them.
They just go to the
That's right. Someone said, no, wrong tomb. You need this one over here. See, there he is. He's dead. No mistaking the tomb. Next thing that's really important is that there was no tampering with the tomb. Jesus' body taken down from the cross, wrapped up in cloths, put in the tomb. The next thing we learn is that nothing happened to the tomb because the Romans and the Jewish authorities made really sure of it. Have a look at verse 62. I'm going to read a little bit here. This is really interesting. Matthew 27, verse 62. The next day, the one after preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, as Jesus said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Lots of people knew of Jesus' prediction. Remember, Jesus says, yeah, I'm going to die, I'm going to be raised again on the third day. Lots of people knew this. The Jewish people know this. So, okay, let's shut down any possibility that this can happen. And let's get the Romans, because they're expert in the guarding paper, let's get them to fix it. And so they did. The Roman soldiers were going to make sure that this tomb was secure and that no one could come and steal Jesus' body away. What do you reckon would happen to Roman soldiers who failed? Yeah, thanks, Jamie. That's what you do with Roman soldiers, isn't it? No, you're a centurion, you're a dud Roman soldier. Take him down. These guys are totally motivated to make sure that no one messes with the tomb. The tomb is secure. Although there was a bit of a surprise early that Monday morning, wasn't there? Did you see that bit about the earthquake? Jesus' tomb actually was opened on the first thing Sunday morning. Matthew 28, verse 1. Let's have a look at it. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and they became like dead men. So the tomb is open, the stone is rolled away, but the crazy thing is that the stone isn't rolled away so Jesus can get out. The stone is rolled away so that the witnesses can get in and so they can see that the tomb is empty. Now, the evidence is there. You know how to disprove a resurrection? How do you do it? That's right, just give me your body. There's the body of Jesus. Bam, you've got no resurrection. But here is the crucial piece of evidence. The tomb is empty. All of the embarrassment that Jesus had caused the Jewish authorities and the Romans could have been very, very quickly fixed if they could just produce the body. But they couldn't. And I bet you they tried. I bet you they did. The tomb is empty. Well, here's the next piece of evidence that's really important. The resurrection was reported immediately. The very next thing that happens, and you see that there in Matthew 28, verses 7 to 10, is that the women do as the angel told them. Women, what do you need to do? You need to tell everybody. You will be good at this. Tell everybody. Tell the disciples. Tell everybody in Jerusalem. You've got to know Jesus is not in the tomb. He has risen. And I love the way that just as the women are going, okay, Mr. Angel, and they're heading off back to Jerusalem, I love the way that Jesus just meets them. Greetings. Isn't that great? I love that. What's important about this is that the Christian claim for the resurrection of Jesus is not something that sprang up, 50 years later or 100 years later. Oh man, this Christianity thing was looking pretty good, but Jesus is dead. I know, let's make it up that he was really alive. What's important is that from the very earliest days in Jerusalem, people are saying Jesus has risen from the dead. Josephus, who doesn't believe it, still reports it, that that's what people are saying. If I told you that the Avalon Rec Centre fell down last night, what would you do? You'd go and check it out. You could do that because you live in Avalon and I told you it just happened last night. Let's imagine, though, that I travel to, well, I go up to the Eskimos on the North Pole or something, right, in 100 years' time, and I tell them, Avalon Rec Centre fell down 100 years ago. Well, how are they going to check that out, and how sure can they be? They got nothing, you know. We got a, it's a long canoe paddle to get down there. The thing about the report of the resurrection of Jesus is that it was immediate, and it was in Jerusalem. Anyone who wants to check it out can check it out. There are lots of eyewitnesses. You can talk to them. This is really important historical information that guys outside the Bible tell us. Really important. There's something else, though. I think the empty tomb is very, very important, but there is something else. It is the testimony of all the people who say, I have seen Jesus. I have seen Jesus after he was dead. It's not just twos and threes, but at one time, more than 500 people, 500 men, so that probably means 1,000 people because they never count the women. I don't know why that is. Over 500 men at one time see Jesus. So people are telling their neighbours and their friends, I've seen Jesus. One last thing I want to say. Last piece of evidence. All of the alternatives just don't stack up. I love the way that Matthew records. Yeah, verse 11. Here's the first kind of attempt to overthrow this report of the resurrection. Verse 11, while the women are on their way, some of the guards went into the city. And I imagine they were fairly nervous at this point. You know, these are the guys that were so scared of the angel they became like dead men. They go back and they report to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders, they devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him with a little bit more money, I suspect, and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and they did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. The problem for all of the alternative explanations is they just don't make sense. I mean, think about it. What sort of frame of mind are the fishermen friends of Jesus in around this time? So there's a court case. Remember, Jesus has come. They steal him from the Garden of Gethsemane late at night, and they come, they take him away, put him up at court. What are the fishermen doing at that time? They're running away. That's what they're doing. 10 of them are running away. There's another really brave one, and he got scared of the servant girl and denied that he even knew Jesus. These are the guys that you think are going to come and take down the Roman guards and steal Jesus' body away. And then, when they are martyred, when they are killed for their belief in Jesus' resurrection, not one of them is going to turn over. Doesn't make sense. Why would you die for something that you know is a hoax? In my view, all of the other explanations just don't fit with the facts. So our tough question for today asks whether the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is credible. I think it is. Mind you, if you look at the law of averages, it's not. You know, like, how many people have, in fact, risen from the dead? Not a lot. How often does it happen that somebody says, oh, I've just been resurrected? Not so very often. Has that happened to anyone else since? I don't think so. Statistically speaking, the chances are very slim, and actually, that is essential for the Christian claim for the resurrection of Jesus. Why this is such a big deal is that the Bible says this is unique. Only Jesus is resurrected from the dead by God in this way. That's essential to who he is and what we would expect of God's way of saving us. If resurrections from the dead are kind of common, you could say, yeah, you know, Jesus, he's like so many others, just resurrected from the dead. You know, David, Moses, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, L. Ron Hubbard, what have they all got in common? They're dead. And they're still dead. Jesus' resurrection sets him apart as unique. What I wanted to tell you today is that Jesus' resurrection is credible. A reasonable person has good grounds for believing that Jesus really did rise from the dead. Jesus actually came alive again to this whole new order of life. It's unending, it's glorious, and he's defeated death. And if you're not a Christian, I want to suggest this means you should be kind of uncomfortable at this point. Because the way that you have viewed your life and have viewed your destiny is suddenly really now under threat. Everything has changed. If it turns out that there is life after death, if it turns out that Jesus is the guy who holds the keys to this life after death because he has been resurrected, you better check it out. And I want to say to you, and I encourage you, be courageous, be gutsy as you check this out. Make sure you know exactly who this Jesus guy is and what he's done and why he's done it. Check out his claims and count the cost of being a follower of Jesus. Now, I'm looking around the room and I know a lot of people here. And I guess a lot of us probably would have walked in the door tonight going, yeah, I already believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I think that happened. But you know what? I think for most of us, our belief would be based on our experience of Jesus. That is, yeah, I know Jesus is alive because I talk to him in prayer. I know Jesus is alive because when I read his word, he's talking to me. Now I know Jesus. That's my experience. Good. I'm with you there. That's fantastic. What I've tried to do in our talk tonight is to encourage you, say, take heart. You know, your faith in Jesus, who is alive, is well-founded. It's open to reason. Anyone can check this stuff out. This is solid. You have a reasonable faith. You've got no need to be embarrassed about being a Christian. In fact, you can be confident in being a Christian, no matter who you're talking to. You have a credible and a reasonable belief. So there's a couple of implications. We've had one. If you're not a Christian, you can't just say, yeah, Jesus, who cares? You've got some work to do. You need to check this out. Two, you can be confident if you are a Christian that your faith is reasonable. Third one I want to talk about is this one. If you're a Christian and you believe that Jesus has risen from the dead, oh man, your world just got a whole lot bigger. Okay, you really are in the kingdom of God, and when you die, it's not over, Jack, it's just starting. It's going big. It's going huge. Your future is anchored in the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of life, eternal life. And it means that your life right now is all about the kingdom of God. Because just as Jesus rose from the dead, that's what you're going to do. And when you rise to that new life, everything is going to be kind of different and yet the same. The thing that's going to be the same is it's still going to be all about Jesus. And so you live your life now the way that you're going to live your life then. What I want you to think about is how you can have kind of the way of thinking that you will have for all eternity. Because that's actually the frame of reference that matters the most. Okay, so here's a couple of quick things just to think through. Okay, what's different now that I'm really confident that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead? Well, here's a couple of things. Because you are going to be resurrected from the dead, like Jesus, what God thinks about you is now way more important than what your friends at school think about you. Okay? So, your friends don't like your style. Your hair is all wrong. And, you know, your clothes don't cut it anymore because they're so last year. Ordinarily, that might be a problem. But because you have eternal life in God, you will be resurrected with Jesus. Because you belong to the kingdom, that stuff is not such a big deal anymore. Things have changed because Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus' resurrection from the dead changes things. Because of this, fixing up that broken relationship that you've got with, say, a Christian friend, that is now way more important than it used to be. Because now you're going to spend eternity together. If you live and then you die and then nothing happens, who cares, right? I can just blow that friendship off. I don't care. But if we are both going to be resurrected with the Lord Jesus forever, we better sort things out now, because that's what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus' resurrection from the dead changes things. Because of this, your friends who don't know Jesus really need you. Okay? Humanly speaking, you are their best chance to hear the gospel. You are their best chance of sharing eternal life. Because the resurrection is real, they need you badly. And so that's going to kind of change up how you spend your time with your friends. I hope you've got some friends who don't know Jesus, because they really need you. I want to invest in those friendships. So what I'm saying is that the resurrection of the dead, resurrection of Jesus from the dead, your resurrection from the dead, changes everything. Death is not the end of the road for you at all. Death is just the beginning. I want to encourage you, if you're a Christian person, to start thinking that way. Start thinking about the kingdom and what that means for your life right now, rather than worrying about a whole bunch of stuff that is not really so important now that you know that you too are going to be raised from the dead along with Jesus. Let me pray for us. Lord, we really thank you that you have made sure that people wrote down the facts of everything that happened around Jesus' death and his resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that everything is there that we need to know so that we can be confident in our faith and so that we can know that what we do believe is actually very reasonable. We pray, Lord, for friends, people who don't know this yet, who haven't really thought it through, this resurrection of the dead. We pray that you would please open their eyes to Jesus as the one who has come back from the dead, now resurrected with you forever. Help us be useful to you as you open their eyes, so that we could be ready to tell them. We pray all this in Jesus' name.